Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined, as always, by Michael.
Hello, everybody. I'm still recovering from the end game. I made it through. It was a 9:30 showing on Thursday.
And that's late.
I prepped by not drinking water after 5 p.m. And then I did the coffee nap.
Oh yeah,
at like 8 p.m. I put down the little one to bed, and then had myself a cup of coffee, laid down. It worked. I didn't feel immediately rejuvenated, but that's the theory. You're supposed to drink a cup of coffee, mm-hmm. take a nap for 20-25 minutes. You'll be good to go.
Pop back up.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I popped back up, but I did not get sleepy at all in the movie. And that's probably a testament to the movie. Don't worry. No spoilers. We're not going to do that to y'all.
I'm not going to do it because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Spencer hasn't seen it. I'm the only one who's seen it. So,
newsflash, I haven't seen like the last 20 Avengers movies. So,
well, you'd be really lost on the 21st one then.
Couldn't care less.
Oh, you're that guy.
You know what else I haven't watched? Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Oh, man.
It's that a verse.
Jinx. I haven't watched it either. Anyway, Endgame's great. Y'all go see it. We'll talk about it someday.
I was not part of the $1.2 billion opening weekend. I had no contribution to that whatsoever.
You know, of course, because Facebook is always fun, KCBD posted the article saying how much money the Avengers made.
Spoiler!
And yeah, spoiler, a lot of people went. And naturally, I had to read the comments because there were comments on it, and I thought, why? This is just a factual article saying that a movie made a lot of money that everyone thought was going to make a lot of money. So it's news, but it's not surprising news. Anyway, I had to click on the comments. And
that's your own fault.
Yeah, it is. I do this to myself. But one of the first comment was in all caps, something about, well, imagine what $1.2 billion would do for starving children. And they weren't being sarcastic, because sometimes you can tell they're being sarcastic, but they replied to a comment which was indicating that they were serious. But one of the best comments was, I might actually have to dig it up before the podcast is over, but basically it was from a woman who said, and I have four mutual friends with this person, so I need to talk to one of them. But anyway, this woman said something like, well, all I can say is that if you go into this movie without seeing the other three Avengers movies, you're going to be really lost. I found out the hard way, or something like that. And oh, she did like the side eye roll emoji. And I think she was serious too, which is not great. So why would you walk into this Avengers movie after not seeing the other three? Anyway, it's a good movie.
Had to be a part of history, right?
Just had to be there. So, what do we got? What are we talking about this week? We got
lots of things.
There's not much going on.
We've got some football news, some good and bad news.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Got some great basketball news.
A lot of great basketball news.
Got some good and currently not so good baseball news.
Yeah.
We've got the Texas Tech UT RGV game one on the background. I think it's, what, the sixth inning? 6-3 lead for the Vaqueros.
still,
bases loaded with Queen. I think there was a pitching change. I think that's why it's that commercial, not that they were able to get out of it.
Right. And I think that's
it's not ideal.
No. But I've said this before, at least the Vaqueros are just that's a really cool mascot name. I absolutely love it.
At least it's not the Unicorns. Shout out New Braunfels High School.
Coach K was a unicorn. Good, if it's good enough for Kingsbury, good enough for the rest of us.
Yep. We'll also get to a couple of your questions, everybody's favorite segment, Going Yard, and what we learned. But first, Michael.
Well,
you've been looking into the realm of smartwatches.
Yes, I've been
this is not a food topic. I'm sorry.
I know. Well, I've got a food topic. Oh, here we go. I snuck it in after. You might click on that link and read it. I don't know if you saw it last week. But I wanted to start off with the smartwatch because I've been considering getting a smartwatch for a long time. And I realize I say the word F-O-R-F-E-R, but just let me roll with it. So I've been considering getting one, and I put into our Slack chat this week, talked to a lot of y'all. You know, y'all had different opinions on it. I really appreciated that input, by the way. I'm kind of leaning on the hybrid watch that you mentioned that you had at one point, Spencer, because yep. it just looks like a watch.
Yeah, it's a smartwatch that connects to your phone via Bluetooth, but doesn't have the digital screen that you'll see with like a Fitbit or like a Samsung Gear or an Apple Watch.
It's not rechargeable. You have a battery that you need to change.
Yeah, you change the battery. You can.
That's no big deal. I mean, well, it kind of is.
Go to a jeweler to get the links taken out to.
Right.
You get shorten the band.
Metal one. And see, I have a Fossil, regular Fossil watch, a dumb one. It's just a dumb watch. it ain't that smart.
What a dumb watch.
What a dumb watch. It does have a stopwatch on it, though, and it tells me the date, which is very nice. You know, I'm afraid that they just...
I'm now concerned Texas Tech baseball game switch over to the World Poker Tour.
Yeah, we thought this was a commercial, but I guess the regularly scheduled programming on Fox Sports Southwest Plus has now resumed. Yeah, we're seeing Laura Sintra talk about her strategy on playing poker, which probably has something to do with wearing a low-cut shirt. That would be my guess. I think her strategy is that's involved.
She covered everything up with like long hair and then some sunglasses. Like, what's the point of that then? It's not like she's like, let me get this all the way so you can see what's going on over here.
Sure. But so anyway, I just kind of wanted to reach out to 23 Personnel Nation, if there is such a thing. What kind of smartwatch do you have? Did you get one and then hate it? Did you get one and love it? Do you have a hybrid? Did you switch back to a regular watch just because you decided, I'm not really going to use the features that much, or charging the battery's a pain? Just kind of interested because I'm tired of taking it out of my pocket just to read a text, or I'm also tired of missing texts and missing other, you know, notifications because I'm in a loud area or whatever the reasoning was. So that's kind of why I'm looking.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
getting one.
So let me tell you my experience. I got the, it was a Fossil hybrid smartwatch first. And I started this off when I had an Android device, and I carried that over when I switched over to Apple because the Note 7 was blowing up and they had that recall where they weren't replacing the phones. They just said, we're going to recall it and then you're going to have something else. So I had the Fossil smartwatch. I liked it because it was subtle in that it wasn't big and gaudy. Like you couldn't tell it was a smartwatch unless like you saw me messing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like you see someone with a Samsung Gear that has like a specialized or personalized logo or picture on it, or an Apple Watch where like, oh, it's one of those dudes.
Yeah. The kind of square.
Yeah.
Because I like the look of the round face
mm-hmm.
more than the square face. And the hybrid really kind of, that's what I'm leaning towards. But they seem kind of complicated as far as setting up and you know, what notification you got. And then if you missed it, you missed it.
So right? Not necessarily. With the Fossil watch, one, you set up through the apps. Fumbling around with like buttons and combinations of weird pushes or whatever on the watch itself. Use the app to set up. It was fairly simple to use. What you could do is set up specific notifications for apps and or like text message contact. So like you could have, if like your wife texts you, the hands would all point to noon or, you know, 12. Like
right.
Match up for like it buzz and the hands would go to noon, 12 o'clock, whatever, for a couple seconds. And that would reset the time. One of the buttons would show the last notification. So you would know that you had a text from your wife, but you wouldn't know what it said. So that's the downside.
Right.
But it would also be like, okay, I see that she texted me. I'm not going to be staring at my watch trying to read it.
Yeah.
Or something like most people would on some other smartwatch. But also you can say, I was either expecting something from her. So like, I need to check it or whatever, or you don't. You're like, oh, she texted me. She's fine. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The battery doesn't last as long as a normal wristwatch. I mean, I think mine lasted 8 months. And it told me it would last about 6 months depending on my use. I didn't use it as heavily as most would, obviously, if my battery outlasted what they told me it would last.
And the app keeps up with your battery remaining, doesn't it?
It may.
One of the videos, I did some research. I watched some videos on YouTube, and that was what I saw. The app actually would tell you how much battery life you had left on your watch.
Mm-hmm. So it may have. And then my brother-in-law was getting rid of his Apple Watch, and I was curious to try that out. So I tried that. I switched over to that. Liked it for a little bit, but found myself just like, one, there was some like quirks where I'd miss a text message because once your phone is paired with the Apple Watch and the Apple Watch is on, like it can sense when you're wearing it, it won't send any notifications to your phone. It'll just send it to the watch.
Oh.
But if you miss it on the watch, like it'll have a red dot, whatever. You can scroll back, whatever. But like I was having issues with like, I'd get a text message and the watch would be set to silent, so it would just vibrate once or something. And then it wasn't noticeable enough for me to go back and recheck it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was always on the watch. And anyways, I was missing a lot of things that way.
Which is weird.
Getting frustrated with it.
That's the opposite of getting, when you want a smartwatch, you want to not miss anything. I would assume that's what you're typically getting it for.
So, I need to replace the battery in the Fossil watch. I would probably switch back now.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to hassle with changing the battery out.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones you have to take the back of the battery, the back of the watch.
Is it something you could do yourself?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Because this one I can't. I mean, this one they've got it to where you have to have some sort of special Batman grappling hook.
Yeah, it may be something very similar to this. I haven't switched a watch battery myself. I don't think ever. So I've always had to go to like a jeweler. And it was always like a battery store in the mall when I was living in Dallas. It would take, you know, they drop it off and I take a lap and it's ready.
But, $20.
Yeah.
I got my battery changed just the other day on this watch and it was $20 at the jewelry box or whatever outside of Dillard's.
You know, the Apple Watch, you drop it on a magnetic charger overnight and it's back up the next day.
That's kind of nice as long as it lasts all day at the very least.
It's got this is not the latest series. It's like a it may be like a first generation Apple Watch. It lasts all day.
Okay.
I'm not a heavy Apple Watch user, but I'm you know, a text message comes in, I'll check it, or I'll scroll through some notification if I miss several. Long story short, 5 minutes later, I preferred the Fossil Watch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have used an Apple. I wouldn't have purchased one myself. I just used one because it was given to me to try out. And I like the convenience of it charging overnight, whereas my other one, like I said, you had to change the battery out. So you guys will have to let us know if you used Apple, Samsung, or some other kind of smartwatch. If you do a
Fitbit
hybrid,
or
let us know your experience.
I have a Suunto, which I'm not even sure how you say that, but Suunto is a really neat watch that my uncle gave me when I graduated high school. And this was in 2002, and I still have it. Still works great. I've changed the battery in it several times because it's really easy to change. It's got a plastic back to where you can just put a coin in. But when I got it, it was like the coolest thing ever because it tells you the temperature, the barometric pressure. It's got a compass, stopwatch, timer, a couple other, the elevation you're at. So it had some really neat features. And so I went and checked their website and to get into the smartwatch game with that brand, it's at least $300. So I don't think I'm willing to shell out that much at this point.
The Fossil, I think...
Most of them were $500 or $600.
I think the Fossil I got for my birthday a couple of years ago was between $175 and $200.
Yeah,
so it wasn't cheap.
I saw some hybrids. I agree. I mean, it's not cheap, but it is less expensive.
Sure.
And I think I saw some $135, $155 this week when I was looking. But then the true smartwatches, those basically start
$300.
Well, you can get under $250.
Okay.
Quite a bit. But yeah, you see 300 pretty easy. Anyway, let us know what you've got. I've got one other thing I wanted to talk about before we dive into real stuff. I don't know if you've clicked the link yet, but
I have.
There's a KCBD article that came out last week. It was Tuesday. We recorded on a Monday last week. And the title's just called Lubbock Tops Nationwide List for Worst Diets, which is, kind of interesting. Apparently they polled 189 communities across the country on their eating habits. And from those results, Lubbock topped the list. Those surveyed were asked, did you eat healthy all day yesterday? And according to the data, roughly 54% of Lubbockites said they did, meaning the remaining 46% were honest enough to say they ate poorly. This is from Ryan Crow at KCBD. Sorry, I should have said that before I started reading. He said our closest competition was Memphis, who came in at 56% healthy. That's saying something.
That's close.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's a 2% difference.
When you think Memphis, aside from music, you think food. You think barbecue, you think ribs, you think soul food, you think all sorts of food. And if
that's like the city or county pastime here is going out to eat.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That means Lubbock's got some pretty decent food, but he also brought up these other factors that there were other factors that went against Lubbock, such as our per capita fast food rating, which is 85 fast food places per 100,000 residents. Medium household income that comes in $13,000 under the national average, an adult obesity rate of 32%, and 18% of residents reporting to be in poor health. So it could be worse. It's not the greatest news for Lubbock. It seems just kind of weird. I wonder if it was just one question.
Did you eat healthy yesterday?
Right. And I was not asked this question. And depending on what day of the week it was, I might have been able to say yes. I might have been able to help.
it's shocker. Been a while since I would have been able to say yes. Well,
I think a couple of weeks
because I've been traveling and I haven't been concerning myself with packing a lunch and making sure that we have a dinner prepared that we can cook on a healthy. It's been, I've got baseball. We got to get home real quick. Got to go pick up the groceries. And then we just fall into the, I don't want to cook tonight. It's too late. Let's just stop on the way home.
So if I asked you, did you eat healthy all day yesterday? What would you say?
No.
I think I could say yes.
I went to Blue Sky for lunch.
Oh, man. Bless your heart. Not ironically. I don't mean that in a... It's like, that's just... I feel that. That's good. I think I did yesterday, and that's usually because I start out pretty strong in the week and then just get worse as the week goes. So Monday... Yesterday was Monday, so I did pretty good.
Samantha's got us gearing up for what she calls May Madness.
Oh, no. It starts tomorrow.
Where we're jumping on the bandwagon, on the train. So we grabbed a pizza on the way home tonight, and we basically said we're going to finish off the last of the soda we had in the house, which was, she bought a couple of 2 liters for like a potluck lunch.
Oh, okay.
And like brought home the ones that weren't opened.
Yeah.
We left one at her parents' house on Sunday, and we brought one back, and we've been kind of sipping on that one. And we're just going to toss the rest of it after tonight, and we're just like, bah, whatever. Cam very nearly hit a grand slam.
Yeah, we're watching the...
Bases loaded, no outs, and they come away with 0 runs.
Still down 6-3. Heading into the bottom of the eighth?
Top of the eighth. It's been a while. But I had some really good food in Phoenix. Went to a place called the Arrogant Butcher. Had some smoked carnitas pulled pork nachos.
That sounds pretty Southwest. That sounds like a solid get down in Phoenix.
So when we did pulled pork here at the house, at my house. We're at 23 Personnel North this evening. We used some of the leftovers, one, to make pulled pork nachos, and then some of the leftovers to make carnitas.
Choice.
But they just combined the two. They just had... smoked pulled pork turned into carnitas, then put that on top of nachos.
I have to say, I made some really good ribs this weekend.
I'm jealous.
Some of the best I've made.
I told someone, I think it's time that we try ribs.
I think it is. I think you're ready.
I'll take your notes and see what you did.
Okay.
But yeah, 20 minutes in, let's talk some football.
Gosh, has it really been 20?
Yeah, almost 21.
Sorry, guys. We might need to put a note. If you want to skip Smartwatch Watch and Random Food Convo and Avengers non-spoiler talk, then yeah. Go to 20 minutes.
21 now. Or 21:30. You want to start with John Scott, or you want to start with the 16 team captains?
I think we should get the John Scott situation out of the way.
So I've been...
It's terrible.
...loosely following it, but there was an altercation. Altercation? Not alteration. Yes, altercation. Sorry.
With a C.
I had that thought. I was like, did I just say the wrong one?
You're good. You got this, man.
Saturday at a student housing pool, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd call it student housing for sure, but I mean, it's student apartments.
Is it like in the McDougal area?
I think so.
Yeah.
Just there was east a, of campus.
I guess an incident at a pool that the... Gosh, come on, Drew Baker. It's your problem. I got distracted watching the baseball game. Dude, like, misplayed a... Yep, there's the yellow bar for an error. Misplayed a... Just a easy ground ball. Dink, right up into his chest.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Sorry. It's an altercation that turned violent at a pool. I think it started off with, like, water squirt guns, and it ended up with him being shot multiple times, like by an actual firearm.
Yeah, I think he, from what I read, Scott was shooting this individual with a water gun as he was walking by the pool, and apparently he didn't care for that, and some words were said, and the guy that got shot with the water gun went and got a real gun and came back.
Shot him and another...
Shot a female there, too, but I think she was...
Less severely injured.
Right. I think she was more... I don't want to say grazed, because I've never been shot. I don't want to pretend like it's not a big deal, but she was not severely injured. I think she was treated, and I'm not even sure if she went to the hospital, but she may have. But I think it was definitely aimed at John Scott, who is out of ICU, seems to be... Mm-hmm. Doing better, but that was some really strange news to see pop up on Saturday, I believe, was when that was
it came out either coming Saturday out. Evening or Sunday morning. And then we see this today that was one that John Scott, like you had just mentioned, his condition is improving. He's been able to be, he's left the ICU, still an inpatient, still recovering. So wish him the best of luck on his path to recovery. The shooter turned himself in Sunday.
Yes, he did.
Which is all things considered
good. Commendable, considering. Yeah. I mean, I know that there
shot
was
shot two people.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, that's not an easy decision to make. That's when you know you've messed up, or someone talked you into, hey, you messed up big time. So that's I'm glad he did that.
The other thing that we don't have on here that we need to talk about was the draft this past weekend.
Right.
But before then, headset coach Matt Wells, has tabbed 16 players to be team captains this year.
Is 16 enough, Spencer?
It's too many. Far, far too many.
I wonder if he could have an all captain
team.
At least one rotation on one side of the ball somewhere.
Well, let's see. How many defense? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 defenders. So half and half.
What if they did...
Why? Why 16?
What if they did...
why not 4?
Special teams. What if they did kickoff return or something? The team captain kickoff return. That's not too bad. But I don't know. It seems like an awful lot.
That's... Okay. So... The 16 team captains are, from the offensive line, Travis Bruffy, Terrence Steele, Jack Anderson, quarterback Alan Bowman, running backs, Tajon Henry, Sir Roderick Thompson, Jax Welch, wide receivers Eric Ezukanma, just the one, defensive linemen Broderick Washington, Eli Howard, linebackers Jordan Brooks, Rico Jeffers, and Xavier Benson. Defensive backs, Douglas Coleman, Adrian Fry, Thomas Leggett.
Noticeably missing from that list is Joe Wallace, who I assume is still suspended for unknown... Not suspended, sorry. Am I using the right word?
Yeah, they were suspended.
They weren't suspended from school, they were just...
From the team.
From the team.
Team activities.
So I don't know if he's, I guess he may not be back in the good graces just yet. But that's a lot of captains.
Yeah. So the one of the replies to this tweet was participation captains. Cracked me up.
There's also an Oprah. You're a captain.
You're a captain. So these team captains were elected by team vote. I would assume those counting the votes should have picked a smaller group to. Have made the cut, but whatever. At least 3 from each class, meaning freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and 4 of those 16 will be chosen for the coin toss. So you won't send out all 16.
Okay, that's helpful.
Although I think Keith's idea of sending 4 groups of 4 out there would have been pretty, like, not like one big line, but like 4, 4, 4, 4, 4.
Yeah, kind of like a marching band, like the drum lines coming out there. You could do a double T formation.
Probably
you could walk out
that many 16.
That's not bad.
So yeah, that's a lot of team captains, bro.
It is.
It's a strange way to start your.
Just have so many leaders, Spencer.
I somehow doubt that.
Who's to say?
I mean, you got to draw the line. I guess 16 is the line.
Do you mean draw the line or set the bar?
Well, we're not lowering the bar.
No, so the bar is set.
Anyways,
at 16,
the NFL draft was this weekend, and I saw a really interesting. I can't compare this to previous years because that's not like my knowledge base. But I believe it was from Max Olson. He tweeted out a list of like the 45 non-seniors that declared for the draft that went undrafted. 45 players.
Oh, he did
non-senior players. So that
like Wesley was on that list.
They were well. 45 players on that list, and then some like really big names. Like, for some reason, Elijah Holyfield is the only one that's coming to mind right now. that running back from Georgia.
Yeah, I saw that list too.
Oh, little Jordan Humphrey
was on the list. No way.
Undrafted.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that makes sense because, well, no, never mind.
I would assume it was a fairly deep wide receiver class, but yeah, you had one declare early in Antoine Wesley. He went undrafted and he was signed to a free agent deal by the Ravens.
That's correct.
Other seniors, Dakota Allen was drafted in the 7th round, which feels criminally low for him. Like, I don't know if that's a reflection of like the GMs being hesitant on his character.
That's so ridiculous. Insane.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know why it would be that low. He was a really productive guy on a team not known for defense. He was obviously like the best player on the field.
He was very upfront about everything that happened. He wrote that open letter, a couple months ago now, I think. And he'd be the first. His situation was very well documented, and he'd be the first to tell you he messed up. And I hope that didn't have any factor into his draft stock, but who knows?
Yeah, hope not as well. And then Preston Gordon was signed to a free agent deal by the Bills?
The Texans? Rams, I think. Rams? No. Allen went to the Rams, right?
No. Maybe. I should have prepared better. I failed you. Well, you've got me second guessing myself. Like, he went to this way. I'm like, oh, I don't know, actually. Anyways, not a super productive year for Texas Tech in the draft. You get the one player. You obviously have those thoughts, those what if thoughts with Wesley saying, you know, I wonder what kind of draft stock evaluation he received to have him declare early. This was obviously before his performance in the combine, which could have hurt him. I saw a really interesting conversation and comparison between him and Hakeem Butler from Iowa State, who went like in the 4th round, with similar body styles. And, well, I say similar. They were pretty similar in height. Hakeem Butler was 20 or 30 pounds heavier.
Yeah, I was thinking.
He's a little beefier. He's beefy.
Their body styles were similar vertically.
Yeah. And then it was like one of those things where like, well, maybe we overvalued Wesley. And, you know, as the number one receiver, as the guy that was making a bunch of plays, like, did that somehow affect him thinking he was more ready to be drafted? I don't know.
It could have just been simply the records that he was setting and, you know, the kind of numbers he was putting up at Tech. Could have had a lot to do with it. And I forgot what he was averaging. He was averaging like 17 yards a catch or 18 at some point.
Like 130 yards a game.
Yeah, it was crazy. And
like one or two ridiculous catches a game.
Gordon ended up signing a deal with the Falcons, by the way.
Falcons, okay.
Going back to...
Not even close to the Bills or the Texans.
No, that's why I thought, well, that doesn't sound right. And I knew Rams sounded right, but then immediately, no, that was Allen. The also worth mentioning is Jashawn Johnson getting picked up by our boy Cliff Kingsbury,
who curiously passed on Wesley.
He did.
Several. I think it was four.
Oh, at least. That was kind of interesting, but...
Oh, shocker. He picked up Kyler Murray with pick number one.
Wow.
And they didn't trade Josh Rosen when they had the market to do so. So good job there, GM. I don't even know your name. You effed that one.
Yeah, I think they're going to pay Rosen for a while.
Here's the thing. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't say, yeah, we're going to take Kyler Murray first. Unless that would have hurt trading Rosen, but they didn't end up trading Rosen anyways. So now teams know that the Cardinals want to offload Rosen and they're not going to pay as much as they probably would have a month ago.
Right.
And it's not like anybody could have forced the Cardinals out of the number one pick. It's not like they were at three, like, oh, I don't know who we're going to pick. Ooh, don't, please don't pick Murray. Like, they had the first pick. They could pick literally whoever they wanted.
Not a problem.
Anyways.
They're going to be the Cardinals. Once Kingsbury went there, already, I had already added them to all of my sports update apps. And, yeah, they're going to be a fun team to follow this year. I'm looking forward to it, especially now. Got some talented dudes on that team.
Yeah. We'll see if the Kingsbury's able to make the jump.
Yeah, maybe they can catch some of that Rams-Chiefs offensive lightning in a bottle. Maybe not this year. Maybe not immediately. But I don't know. Never thought I'd be so excited about an Arizona Cardinals season. But then again, yes, I have, because I'm a lifelong fan.
I'm a lifelong Cardinals fan.
Yeah.
It was Larry Fitzgerald that did it for me.
Yeah. He's the only one I can name.
Kurt Warner.
That's true.
But he was with the Rams first.
That was on his second stint.
Okay. So football. I mean, hopefully there's no more off-season news. I mean, you're still adding players. You picked up a couple of... you're still looking to pick up some transfers. You got the defensive back from Penn State, Zach Thompson? I'm sorry. I know his first name is Zach, but it's Z-E-C-H. He looks to be a pretty good addition.
McPherson,
there you go. And then you got the running back from Utah, Armand Sykes? It doesn't matter. Sorry. We're just going to roll through this because our notes document is so pitiful. I'm not even going to post it in our show notes like I usually do. I'll have to go back and like just write it like I started off doing a long time ago. Okay. So before we show any more
Armand shine.
We're watching the baseball game. Just struck out to finish the eighth, still down 6-3.
To the Vaqueros.
With runners in scoring position.
Again.
We're not pushing runners across. Let's talk about basketball.
Let's do it.
So to settle everybody's nerves, Chris Beard did sign his contract extension.
And we had reportedly signed it last week.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's what Kyle was able to confirm to us. When I guess he spoke to somebody with knowledge of the program.
Yes. A very reliable source.
Tuesday that said that they had just finished signing it.
Yep. That it was a done deal.
Would have been Tuesday the 23rd. The tweet I saw from Carlos Silva from the AJ said that they had seen that all parties had signed the contract on Monday the 22nd. This contract is good for 6 years, makes Beard the third highest coach in college basketball.
Yep. And you know,
not some, the Big 12.
On friend of the show, Rob Rowe's show today.
Friend of the show, Rob Rowe.
They did mention that might be temporary because obviously there's some other guys on that list that's going to get a little bit of a raise, like Bennett is going to get a raise.
Likely.
Yeah. So it's not like...
He may not finish this offseason at number three.
Right.
But currently it shows the commitment from Texas Tech.
It sure does.
To retain Beard and to reward him for building the program and putting it in the direction he's done in 3 years.
How has he done this?
And he's gone on this track of like, if you track his salary from... What, like 4 years ago, he was making $300,000?
I think it was $230,000. I remember seeing that tweet. Someone pointed out, man, it was one of the guys with the local stations. I'm sorry. I think he's making 20 times more now than he was 4 years ago. Just 4 years ago. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, so he was what, like...
Think of your salary. And if
four
just
times,
4 years from now, you're making 20 times that.
Let's see, what's times two?
Right?
And then times 10.
I can't even fathom it.
I don't know what I would do with that.
Exactly. That's always my thought. What do you do when you make $4.6 million and you live in Lubbock, Texas?
So it was Zach, Logsdon was mm-hmm. talking about like just his normal paycheck. They're like, does he get paid like every other week or every month?
I heard that to do today.
So tech employees, I think, get paid once a month, but like that direct deposit on a monthly basis for Chris Beard is just shy of $400,000 a month. So his first year, I think he's making what, 4.2?
I can't remember. Let me see if I can dig that up.
Yeah. So if he's making $4.2 million this first year, his monthly deposit, it's a cool $350,000. Mine is probably at least a third in taxes.
Make that work. Oh, at least a third. Yeah.
Which like it just makes you sick, right? Like he's probably paying what $150,000 a month in taxes. Like, oh my gosh. Well, I'd do pretty well if I was making $150,000 a year.
Yeah.
And he's paying that
especially
much in taxes
living here.
A month.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, dude's getting paid. He's got an interesting buyout structure.
Yep.
Which I'm sure you've all heard of it by now. But for those that haven't, if he's hired away by someone in the Big 12 or in the state of Texas between now and March 31st, 2020, they will have to pay a buyout of $6 million. And it drops $1 million every year until the last year in his contract when it's zero. So anybody within the state of Texas in college or in the Big 12 or a team that is in the same conference as Texas Tech at that time, which was written that way because of conference realignment, which may come up by the end of this contract, which I thought was kind of an interesting foresight.
Yeah, that's pretty
like
good.
If we're part of the Pac-12, 16, whatever it may be at that point. I'm not saying we should be, but that a UCLA would have to pay the same buyout fee that a Texas would have to now.
Gotcha. So gotcha. Because they're a conference school.
Yeah. Teams not in the Big 12 or not in the state of Texas or the NBA would have to pay $3 million starting this year. Dropping $500,000. You have to excuse me on that one. I'm so sorry. $500,000 every year until again that last year it goes to zero. Another thing that I found really interesting is any of these buyout fees are cut in half if Chris Beard leaves
HoCut
when HoCut is no longer the athletic director at Texas Tech.
Right.
So HoCut leaves, then Beard leaves. So for example, somebody hires HoCut away from Texas Tech, and then HoCut hires Beard away from Texas Tech. HoCut's new school will have to pay half of the buyout.
Oh, I didn't think of that scenario, specific one.
He kind of set himself up to take Beard with him for half price.
Wow.
Which kind of makes him an intriguing AD target.
How did I not think of that scenario? I thought of, you know, everyone was saying that it was kind of more... It kind of was supposed to speak that Beard and HoCut go together. They're like a really good team. And, you know, and this is kind of a commitment by HoCut as well.
And they could go together.
In his contract. Yeah, they could quite actually go together to Chapel Hill or something. I don't know. That's crazy.
So.
No, I didn't think of that.
Chris Beard's contract will have him averaging just under $4,600,000 a year. Currently, good for third in the country, behind guys that make $7 and $9 million, and Coach Calipari and Krzyzewski.
Yep, not bad company.
Not at all.
Coach K doesn't have a buyout, by the way.
He also makes $7 million
before bonuses,
which is kind of like the buyout in itself. I think that's what some people are like, why is Beard's buyout relatively so low according to relative to his contract? I was like, well, that means somebody's gonna have to pay him more than what we're paying plus the buyout.
Someone's gonna have to commit $5 million a year
at least
for at least 6 years too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably more than that to get any sort of kind of traction with him.
And then that buyout would be to help Texas Tech offset paying somebody else's buyout potentially to hire the next coach.
Help us hire Becky Hammon away from the Spurs unless she takes over for Pop in 3 years.
Pop. Who cares about Pop?
He just signed a little deal. He got 3 years. Be 73 coaching. Can you imagine doing anything at 73? Aside from like circle word puzzles? That's probably what I'll be doing. I hope I'm able to do that. I'd be thrilled. Not coaching a bunch of millionaires. Mm-mm. 82 nights a year. Man, that's a lot of work.
That's just for the games, man. That's not practice.
Talk about right. Practice. Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's not like he just shows up for the games.
Speaking about not showing up for just the games, Chris Beard is also tearing it up on the recruiting trail.
That he is.
Recently gained the commitment from one Clarence Nadolny, the 6'3 guard from Scotland, Pennsylvania, Scotland Performance Institute. Had offers from Texas Tech, Iowa State, West Virginia were his final three. Those are the ones that he visited in order over the past week or two. So there's your high school guard. It would be kind of foolish to try to project this, but like if everybody else on the current roster is here in the fall, you've got one spot remaining.
Right.
What becomes really interesting, though, news comes out today that you have a 5-star high school guard list you in his top group of schools.
Yeah, and not only is it interesting for that reason, but he is chomping at the bit to play some college ball, and he's going to graduate from high school a year early to do so.
He's doing what Kevin McCullough did. Mm-hmm. He's reclassifying to a year ahead of him.
Yep.
In the 2020 class, he was a 5-star ranked the number 5 overall prospect in the class, number 1 or number 2 combo guard. So tops in his position, very nearly tops in the entire country. Reclassifying to 2019, RJ Hampton. What I thought was also really interesting was that his top 4 had a little bit of a shakeup.
It did, a little bit.
Adds Texas Tech, drops Duke. So Texas Tech takes the place of Duke in his top 4.
I read in another article that, to contact juniors, whatever the date is that coaches can start contacting juniors in high school.
Yeah, it's like a midnight start time.
Chris Beard was the first guy that called him.
Yep. And I believe I saw from Seth today that Chris Beard is the primary recruiter listed for RJ Hampton. So he's going after him personally. He's not sending Berg or Adams.
That's very interesting.
He's probably out there with his Texas Tech Final Four jacket.
Yeah. A little snug.
Riding a Lime scooter.
Riding a Lime scooter, as most millionaires do.
The other thing that I think is really interesting, something to pay attention to, the regular signing period for Division I basketball is April 17th through May 15th. So we'll know either way in the next 2 weeks whether or not you land RJ Hampton, because he'll have to sign by then. Same as Nadolny and Terrence Shannon, because the signing period ends 2 weeks. Now, you aren't projected to lose either one of those guys.
Correct.
That are committed but unsigned. One I just committed, Terrence Shannon, I think committed outside of a signing period. He's expected to sign. He announced a day or two ago that he's holding a signing ceremony at his school here in a couple days. And you're still listed among the top schools for some really big name transfers, like that guy from SFA. Is his name Holyfield too?
That sounds right. I know it's a famous name.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The big guy from SFA, we talked about that big list last week or the week before.
Yeah, TJ Holyfield.
TJ Holyfield. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. You're still listed among his top group of schools. Some other names that we've thrown out, like Blackshear from Virginia Tech is testing the NBA draft.
We were kind of trying to start that rumor.
Yeah.
We're trying to be ground zero for the Kerry Blackshear to Tech rumor.
And then there was also a couple of new guys that visited this past weekend. A transfer from Vanderbilt, Wetzel. And then another graduate guard, Gilder. So these are all big-time guys that you could add to your program here pretty soon. And then get this thing rebuilding for 2019-2020.
Wow. There's some good names.
Wow.
It's like I mentioned in our Slack chat. Is this what it feels like to be on the opposite side of the rich, just keep getting richer?
To be the rich in that
scenario? To be the rich. It's kind of a nice... It's a nice nice feeling. I could get used to it.
It's a nice problem to have.
Yep.
Trying to figure out where you're going to fit all these uber-talented players
right.
in your roster.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like I said, may involve you kindly telling somebody that's currently on the roster, say, hey, man, I don't know if you're going to get any playing time here. It may be in your best interest to move on. Which is unfortunate, but also kind of, I mean, it is what it is. This is kind of the name of the game these days. Always rebuilding. You don't have, with the 13 scholarships, you don't have room to carry any non-contributing players.
No, you really don't. You've got to keep it lean.
So there are a couple guys that we tossed out last week. I actually heard this afternoon, Chris Lovell said that he doesn't expect the current roster to be what we see in the fall.
Oh no. And that, Seth has mentioned that too. It's just going to be,
and that there's likely a person or two
fluid
that may be moving on. And we talked about those a couple weeks ago. It doesn't have to be those two guys that we mentioned. We already know that Kayvon Moore has announced he's transferring.
Correct.
He's already gone or leaving, which made room for the two guys. You've got Jared Culver that announced for the NBA draft. Plus all your seniors. One of the other notes, really quick before we move on to baseball, was that, was it Parker Hicks?
Right.
Is transferring with a full ride scholarship over to Lubbock Christian University.
Yeah.
To play basketball.
Doesn't have to move. And I'm sure he's going to start, and he's going to play a lot for the Shaps. So that's really cool to hear. Is he a grad transfer? I don't think he was a grad transfer. I think he was a junior. But that doesn't mean he hadn't finished school. Anyway,
I believe he participated in the senior day.
He was a walk-on, right?
Yes.
So that's just fantastic to see a guy that's worked hard, paid his way through school just like the rest of us, but also was on a national championship caliber basketball team to finally get the chance to play basketball on a full ride and get to go to school for free.
Still too soon to talk about that.
Oh, about what?
National championship.
I said national championship caliber.
I know, but you said the words.
We've got to acknowledge the history. We can't erase it. No one's ever really gone. Have you seen the new Star Wars trailer?
No.
We'll always be with you. No one's ever really gone. Cue Palpatine laugh.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry. Congrats to Hicks. Truly, that's yes. fantastic.
It's awesome.
And he doesn't even have to break his lease.
No, he can stay in the current living situation. If he's
unless he's on campus
with teammates or something, then he's
yeah.
like, oh, it may have a bad look to his new team. Like, I'm still living with Avery Benson and
still hanging out with my tech buddies,
Malik Ondigo.
Yeah,
that's true. So your Red Raider baseball team still battling out with the Vaqueros.
Just as we all thought they would be.
But this past week took down the one-game midweek series against New Mexico and then swept the Oklahoma State Cowboys. The Big 12 first-place team swept them. And
swept.
Your pitching staff totaled 46 strikeouts over the weekend. That's more than 15 a game. Remember, you only have 27 outs in a game.
Is that true? Is that a fact?
Hashtag 27 outs.
Hashtag fact.
Hashtag 27 ounce recorded. Here we go. Bottom of the ninth.
No big deal. So bottom of the ninth, still down 6.
27 outs have been recorded against the Vaqueros. So yeah, you struck out 46 Oklahoma State batters this past weekend.
I mean, we're talking you won 12-4, you won 10-2, and then you won a pedestrian 5-2. You kind of laid off a little bit on Sunday.
You gave up 8 runs in 3 games against a
while scoring 27.
Salty Oklahoma State lineup.
Yeah, the number one team in the Big 12. A team that, who did they beat the week before? Wasn't it somebody pretty decent? They were ranked number 16 when you played them.
They took 2 from Baylor the past weekend.
Okay. And then Baylor stomped on someone's throat this weekend.
Was it TCU or Texas?
I think it was TCU.
Okay, so I'm getting a little upset with Texas right now. Yes, it's great to see them like at 6-11 in the conference. And you're just like, my goodness, we should have taken more than one game.
Yeah, I know. That's killing me. It's one of those that it's almost a foregone conclusion you'd have swept them at home.
Yeah.
If you were to play that series over, even starting off your Big 12 play. I think just that despite all the Red Raider fans in attendance, I just think the atmosphere and the away games just kind of made it a little bit tougher on the guys.
Okay, but let's go back to the pitching this past weekend. Bryce Bonin looked he probably had his best start of the year. He struck out a career high 8, and held the Pokes to 1 run on 4 hits as he worked into the 5th inning on his start on Saturday. So the strikeouts, Texas Tech recorded 17 on Friday, 13 Saturday, sorry, and then 16 on Sunday.
It's pretty good. I'll take it.
John McMillan came in. He's not the shaky, I wonder what kind of John McMillan we're going to get. He's been dang good.
He's been boss hog John McMillan.
Taylor Floyd, Clayton Beater. They're just dudes that, like, when they come in, you're like, it's over.
I got to see Floyd pitch in that game 2 of the Baylor series. And was really impressed. He was super poised. And there were a couple of jams he was kind of getting into a little bit, but he'd get right back out. I enjoyed watching him play.
Gosh, what was I going to say? Josh Young was named Big 12 Player of the Week after this weekend. You moved up in the rankings to... You moved it back to 11. So after your earlier conference season struggles where you dropped down to the mid to low teens, climbing your way back up there. I doubt you're going to get any love from D1 baseball after the whole stupid no vote shenanigans that they, Kendall Rogers and Aaron Fitt, were being big babies about.
Well, and Hocutt said on his show last week that if it was decided, Tech would figure it out. If it was voted that, okay, you need to pay for another assistant, Tech would have no problem doing it. They would figure it out. They'd find the money. They'd move it around and make it happen. But they just felt that it would make more sense to plug that money elsewhere. And that's why they voted the way they did.
Yeah, so
doesn't mean that they wouldn't comply or some crazy BS about it. And Hocutt and Tadlock were on the same page, and they both have made that clear and have both backed each other's statements publicly. So I'm not sure how much Kendall talks to Tim personally. As he
claims he does.
Yeah, he was using first names that he talks to Tim all the time. I don't. So I've got to default to him on that. But I'm sure Mr. Hocutt talks to Mr. Tadlock quite a bit.
I would assume so. So on Saturday, you had Caleb Killian on the mound. He went 6 innings, struck out 8. Killian is 6-0 as a starter this season. he's yet to post like a loss or have a loss be attached to him.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good dude.
Young was a triple short of the cycle on Saturday. Dylan Noisy hit a big time home run. That was on Sunday. Cam Warren is still racking up a bunch of RBIs.
I wanted to mention that the Noisy home run, because it was...
Dude, he crushed it.
I was listening, so I didn't get to see it, but Haxton had a great call on it, of course, and I was listening to it by myself and got super excited. But someone on Twitter called out Hax for sounding dejected or whatever, that quote-unquote his Oklahoma State Cowboys lost.
That's not his... Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't catch that at all because I... And that was immediately what I thought of when someone... When I saw that tweet, because Hax responded to it. And I immediately thought of that Noisy call that gave Tech the lead. And I thought, man, if you heard that call, there is no doubt in your mind that he was... full on board Texas Tech this whole series. I don't know why anyone would even start that or think that or whatever, but you've got to be looking really hard to find that.
It was so dumb.
Yep. This is very dumb.
Currently you're down to your last out, still down by three.
Yep. Down 6-3. Who's batting? I can't
Brian
tell.
Klein.
Okay. Klein's BK.
I can just tell by the way he like rests his bat in his crotch because it's a weird way to do it.
BK's up. It's time to try the impossible whopper at BK.
You need a 3-run home run in here with the bases empty.
Oh.
Oh. He tried it. Fouled it off.
It was a home run to the right side.
Probably to Keith.
Yeah, it was pretty close. It whizzed right by him.
So it still cracks me up. I get that it's for their safety, but the saddle tramps wearing batting helmets on the sideline because that dude... Took one off the building to the face, to the noggin.
Yeah.
To the dome. Oh, there's a final from Double T.
Oh, so you're on a delay with the stream.
Oh, they're always on a delay. Jerks.
So that means he's about to strike out.
I would assume so with a 2-strike count. Oh, and that outfield camera shake.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's like, can you not put like...
They've got to fix that.
A permanent...
Oh, he doesn't strike out.
Doesn't strike out.
He flies out.
Can you not have some kind of permanent structure out there? What is happening? What are they? Oh, sorry. They were just... The outfielders were like running around the logo like they just won something.
Well, to be fair, Tech did that against their walk-off game against Baylor.
Okay, but that's a conference walk-off. This isn't UTRGV taking one midweek game against...
The number 10 team in the country. Not too bad. I'd celebrate a little bit on their home, on their field.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, see? Think about it. Dancing in the locker room. Huggins would be appalled.
You were destroying our sport.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Moving on to questions now that UTRGV is...
Possibly. I'm trying to pull up that Noisy call real quick.
Hax's call of that?
Before we move on, I think it's right here. Sorry if it's not. We're just going to go for it.
Pitch to Noisy. Hammered up in the air to left center field. Boone going hard back into his right. Adios, muchacho! 3-run bomb for Dylan Noisy. And the Red Raiders lead it. 4-2.
Yeah, that sounds like a true Oklahoma State fan there.
So dejected. Oh, my goodness. Like, what is he doing? Call himself a professional.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Let's get to some questions. Red and Reset, man.
Always our guy. Thanks.
Always comes through.
Thanks, man. Thanks a ton.
Who will have more success in the NFL? Dakota Allen with the Rams or Antoine Wesley with the Ravens?
I'm going to say Allen right now.
I'm going to say Allen probably has the better chance of getting more playing time, obviously as a drafted player than undrafted free agent. Not that being drafted guarantees Allen a spot on the roster this fall, but I would say he's got a slightly easier road path to go down than Allen, who has to fight to make the roster. Sorry, than Wesley.
Well, not just Wesley, but excuse me, not just fighting to make the roster, but the quarterback position at Baltimore is kind of shaky.
Wait, you mean you don't have any faith in what's his face?
Robert Griffin III?
Hey, so if you're going to have anybody throwing up like Hail Marys to Wesley, which he was pretty good at snagging, like the contested ball, I think Robert Griffin would be a pretty good guy to have thrown him. But if he doesn't, if his knee just doesn't spontaneously combust and blow out of his pants.
Well, it's going to be Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson will start.
Oh,
wow. RG3 is just on the team. But I'm just not sure.
I'm also not sure how he still has a lower leg on one of his legs.
Isn't that, I mean, that's just terrible. Can you imagine that just happening to you?
How bad his knee has been just,
oh my gosh,
destroyed over the years.
It's going to be, it's probably got to be rebuilt a few times and in like, his lifetime.
And also how dramatic he was when he got hit on just any game. Like he would take a hit, he'd get up all slow. It was like,
we're not supposed to hit him.
Dude, like it's football. It's contact sport.
No, remember, it's just, you're just not supposed to hit him.
Yeah. Because anytime, I remember anytime that Tech hit him, he was like crawling. Like, dude, you got tackled, like it was an arm tackle. He's like crawling off the field.
But yeah, just, you know, partially because of the quarterback situation in Baltimore. I mean, Jackson's great. Jackson's solid, but this will be his first year at the helm there. So we'll, and he's also recovered from injuries too. So we'll just kind of see how that plays out. But
the what's his face I was thinking of was Joe Flacco.
He's gone.
That's how much I know about.
That's Baltimore. Who I thought you were thinking of, and I was
Baltimore Raven football.
he gone now.
He gone.
He's where's he at? Is he at me? He's at Denver. That's right. That's right. He's in Denver.
What quarterback did they just draft?
The
Broncos. Did John Elway go grab himself?
Let me see.
It's probably Denver, not
Bronco draft picks.
Not really that relevant.
Okay, let's see. From the Denver Post, they drafted a Drew Lock, round two.
From Missouri.
Round two, number 42 pick, Drew Lock.
Interesting.
Oh, how about the Giants? Did you see any of those reaction videos when they drafted that kid from Duke?
Yep, and then I also heard this morning, it was like one of those best of Golic and Golic or whatever.
Yeah.
They were like, if your defense of drafting this guy, like his top six quote, or his top six traits have nothing to do with him throwing the ball, then maybe you're trying too hard to find the positive. Because it was like, he extends the play and he's able to feel pressure and step up in the pocket. It's like, none of that has anything to do with him throwing.
First one in, last one out.
Yeah, actually coach's throwing son. The ball. Yeah, and I was one of those things like, if you have to ask who that is on like a first round draft pick, you're like, what's happening?
My friend Adam sent me a compilation video of just 6 minutes of people losing their minds when the Giants took him, and it was pretty good. That there's a there's one in the middle, there's this big guy. He's just incredulous. What are you doing? What are you doing? And then I think my favorite one is the very last one where there was a guy filming a diehard Giants fan. He got the news. And I think the guy that was watching it, I think he was stone cold silent the whole time and just kept looking at the guy filming and just couldn't believe it. Kind of had that smirk on his face as if he, is this a dream? But the kicker, the best part of that video was the guy that was filming it was just laughing like a maniacal jackass the whole time. And so you just hear, he's filming his friend in complete and total misery, and he is just having a ball with it. I think that was my favorite one, but that.
No, I haven't seen that video.
I was out of the loop on the draft. I barely kept up with it, but.
It started one night when I was at this conference, and I didn't keep up with it very well. I had it pulled up on my phone.
Yeah.
But I wasn't following it real close.
Yeah. So to take,
To take 5 minutes to answer that question, I think it's going to be Dakota Allen with the Rams.
I'm thinking
so, too.
More
success than Anton Wesley with the Ravens.
Yeah.
Also, this is before the game even started. Is it just me or is the baseball team not living up to the preseason hype? So I'm going to agree with you there. I do think that we collectively may have over-projected this team, overvalued a little bit. They had some just ridiculous non-conference games scheduled. You had that series in Frisco.
Oh, yeah.
You hit the road to go play Duke. You know, you played teams like Michigan, although you swept them. Stetson, you beat them. But, no, you haven't had the success you've had recently. You were probably projected to be one of your better teams that you've seen in the past couple of years. And not that you're doing all that poorly. You're still likely going to be hosting a regional.
Right.
You're still able, like, if you're number 11 in the country, you're not that far away from hosting a super regional, being a national seed, which are the top 8 teams.
Well, and how many guys did Tech lose to the draft last year?
I think 10.
11? Yeah, it was...
I think 11 were drafted, 10 left.
Right.
Killian was the only one that was drafted that came back.
Then he stayed.
On a roster of, what, 26? You lost almost half your roster. You had to rebuild that half.
And you didn't just lose them because they graduated. You lost them because they were good enough to be drafted.
Yeah, like
you
Grant
lost a lot of talent. You lost a lot of really key talent.
Yeah.
But even so, you're still kind of, you know, Tadlocks earned that same type of, we can keep going, we can still be successful, we can lose a lot of guys and bring in some new guys or have some guys that are here step up. He's kind of set that precedent that Beard's kind of stepping into now too, to where we're going to kind of start expecting things. Oh, well, you lost half your roster. No big deal. You're still going to make a super regional this year, right? Or you're still going to go three rounds in the tournament, right?
Let's see how he reloads again.
Right.
It's not like we have to rebuild. Let's see him do it again.
It's kind of it's interesting because you're, man. Well, I can't wait to see who he pulls out to lead us to Omaha this year, that type of deal. But having come off that the sweep against Oklahoma State, that was a pretty big statement. Tech has definitely struggled on the road this year. I think most teams do, to be fair, but
you only have one road series left
at
Oklahoma, and you come home to play a really puzzling team in TCU.
Yes.
Not sure what's happening with them.
But they're, to say that they're not living up to the preseason hype, yet they're still second place in the Big 12 right now, and ranked in the top 10 or 15 in the country, depending on which poll you see. But there's still some baseball left. We're in a good place. We're in a good place if we can say that that's actually true.
I also think some of this has to do with your superstars going into the season. You've had really good stuff from Killian, especially lately.
Yeah.
But like Gabe Holt, Josh Young, who were like, these guys are going to be the offensive leaders, the defensive leaders in the team. Not that they've been playing poorly. Not that they've done like, you know, they just didn't have the power step numbers that you were expecting from Young. You were thinking he could hit a dozen home runs, and I think he's just at 7 now or 8. Like he could get there. Gabe Holt has hit 1 home run, I think, this season, maybe 2. So the step that I think everybody was expecting hasn't been realized. Not that they're not improved this year. I just don't think they made as big of a jump as everybody was maybe thinking that they would. You're still a good team. Still a great team.
Yeah.
We were just mentioning, like, you're probably still expected to make a super regional. You get into these 3-game series, like, anything could happen. And then once you make it to Omaha, like, it's a whole new season. Interested to see how these last couple weekends play out, how you fare in the Big 12 tournament, although that hasn't been historically something that Tim Tadlock has really cared all that much about.
Right. Yeah, it's exhibition, basically.
And then how the chips fall when it comes to seeding post Big 12 tournament in terms of regional, super regional possibilities. So
that's all I got on that one. That's all I got to say about that.
It's time for everyone's favorite segment, Going Yard.
Let's do it. Let's do it. What's going on?
I don't think it's anybody's favorite segment.
No.
Except for maybe mine.
And then there was one guy who was super into it. He liked the Malorganite.
Yeah, we had a good little conversation on Twitter.
Man, I wish I could. Sorry. I know he's sending some really good questions, and I'm blanking on his name right now.
Is it Harrison Hill?
I don't think so. Anyway.
Peter Fuentes?
But he had some good...
Fuente?
Some good yard knowledge.
Speaking of, he sent me one. I need to track that one down real quick.
You've got another question?
Yeah, I think it was from a couple days ago.
Yeah, so the Giants picked Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Quarterback of Duke. And everyone was up in arms because they could have gotten Dwayne Haskins or... who was the other guy?
Jarrett Stidham, maybe?
No. No, it wasn't Stidham. It was...
not that I would have taken him in the first round.
Yeah.
But he went to the Patriots.
Dadgum.
Dadgum.
I can't remember.
Peter Puente says, does this mean Coach Adams is now off the hook for tickets? LOL. I don't know, because I did hear that we're probably expecting some details about the bump in the assistant coach salary pool, that those guys will be handsomely rewarded and
maybe even
priced out of the assistant coaching pool market with their new salaries going forward. I would say that little bit of extra cheddar. Sorry. I felt stupid even saying it. Chris Beard may put Coach Adams up for even more free stuff. Hit up Coach Adams for tickets. Hit up Coach Adams for hotel room. Hit up Coach Adams for a ride.
Yeah, and I think he said a couple of times in the fireside chats that, and I'm sure this is probably just kind of exaggerating, but there's something about the NCAA.
He did mention
that. Was coming down on him for having Coach Adams give away so many things. just come stay with Coach. Coach Mark Adams. He'll take good care of you.
Yeah. Going yard. So I had to ask my father-in-law to mow this past week while I was out of town.
Yeah. How'd he do?
He doesn't
acceptable.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am noticing though, I have this haze on my grass now because the blades, like, I don't know if the grass was wet or if it was just that long, but instead of the mower cutting, the mower was tearing. So the top, you know, eighth of an inch of my grass is white where it was ripped instead of cut. So my yard doesn't look as good as it could. I need to go back. So I've actually ordered like a drill, like a hand power drill attachment to sharpen the blade. I should be here tomorrow. I need to resharpen my blades. And then go back out there and mow again. It's time, if you've been following me, to put down your second pre-emergent herbicide to keep those nasty summer weeds out. Still working against crabgrass.
My guys came by yesterday and did just that.
Yeah, so when I got out of the car tonight, I was like, I smell it.
Yep.
I smell the...
They treated it yesterday.
The goodness. I love that smell.
I know it's weird. It's weird to like it, but I'm with you.
That chemical.
Yeah.
It's not even fertilizer. It's that like...
Yeah, just that just straight up chemical smell.
Yeah, you smell like...
That's a really good description. I'm doing a great job here. But yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you when I got out. I was like, I bet they treated this yard.
Came by yesterday. Sure did.
Also have plans to finally plant some little plants, shrubbery, flowers in our little planter box in front of the house. So instead of it just being a dirt patch.
Yeah. Mine's currently a dirt patch because all the mulch keeps getting washed or blown away.
And but I'm you also
put
have
rocks in there.
You also have a bunch of blooming rose bushes right now, which look fantastic.
I know they look fantastic, but they are a pain in the butt because they just...
We've got a couple of rose bushes.
They never stop. You have to trim them three or four times a year.
That oh, you're just being lazy now.
They get insane.
Like how you don't want to mow twice a week.
Yeah, I don't. I don't have time for that.
Thus, you hired somebody else to do your manly work for you.
They mow as often as I did, which was once every other week.
That's not even close to being enough.
It's enough for me. I grew up in the country, man. Mowing was just to knock it down. That's what Dad would call it. Just go. Well, I'm going to go out here and knock it down. Why don't you go out there and knock it down?
I'm going to go cut it down so we can start baling some of this hay.
It wasn't about like keeping up with a nice yard. It was just hell. I guess we better mow.
The other thing, I had to reach out to the guy that installed my sprinkler system. I was like, hey, I'm not entirely sure of the system you installed. I can look at the sprinkler heads and I can probably guess. But I was like, are there taller sprinkler heads I can switch out? Because I'm trying to keep my grass at 4 inches. And these are 5-inch sprinkler heads, but they're not reaching over the top of the grass.
Yeah.
So there are some parts of the grass that aren't getting watered as much. And they're already starting to be stressed out by the heat we've had. Which means I've got patches in my yard that are a lot darker. Which is interesting, because when fescue gets stressed out, it'll curl. Like the blades won't be flat; they'll start to curl. And when they do that, they get dark.
When do they get stressed out? Like exams and stuff coming up, or?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly right. No, because they're not getting enough water and it's hot. If you were just listening. So, anyways, I'm looking at having my sprinkler heads grow an inch in height here pretty soon, so I can not have to cut my grass shorter.
Yeah.
Because that's the other logical thing. Is like, well, just cut your grass shorter. It's cheaper, right? Like, I don't have to do anything. Problem, though, is that it may not just be cutting my grass shorter. One, it's going to open it up for more stress because it's supposed to be tall, right? It's like in the name, tall fescue. But if it's shorter, it's not protecting the soil and roots from the heat like it does if it's tall. It's got even more shade. Helps hold in more water, all this kind of stuff. So I'm debating do I buy taller sprinkler heads if they have them available, or do I just mow shorter and just deal with possibly having to sprinkle, run the sprinklers more often.
Oh my gosh. Do they have, well, I guess they'd have to have 6-inch. That'd be the shortest you could live with, right?
You'd have to ask my wife.
Oh, there you go. There you go. We're at that point.
It's late, guys. I'm so sorry. I would assume they have 6-inch sprinkler head. Like the pop-up section that you just like you unscrew. So if anybody has the Toro T5 rapid set sprinkler system, let me know if they have a taller version of both the rotary and the pop-up heads.
I might need taller too on some of my stuff.
And your short little Bermuda out here?
Yeah, but it's getting taller, like I said, because the sand is piling up on top of it around the sidewalks. Because of the lovely dirt that blows. What's nice is, you know, pretty soon my house will probably be a foot higher off the ground. Actually, my house won't be, just my yard. Unless the sand somehow blows under the concrete.
Yeah, probably not going to happen.
I guess not.
So, with as much preparation as we went into this episode with, we've gone on far too long.
Is it time to stop?
It's time to move on to what we learned.
Oh, okay. Well, quickly, what I learned.
Probably because we spent the first 20 minutes of the episode talking about nonsensical things.
Well, what I learned is that Lubbock is,
has the worst diet.
Is 46% unhealthy, but if we try really hard, we can bump that up to 50. Those are rookie numbers. We got to pump those numbers up. We got to get some double cheeseburgers.
Excuse me.
Stat delivered.
Not really related to what we learned, but just an anecdote. Where our office was going to go out to that barbecue place in Slayton.
Oh, smoke rings and, man, I'm going to butcher it. It's like pitchforks and smoke rings or something like that.
Right. They're actually closed this week for Cotton Fest.
Oh, are they doing the competition? Oh, guess who gets to eat some? Guess who get? I get to judge that's barbecue so, at Cotton Fest on Sunday, Saturday.
So dumb.
It's gonna be great.
The dance is so dumb. Not that you get to go.
Oh, you should have filmed it. It was
I'm a little jealous.
It was classic.
Yeah. This is why we need a video aspect of our podcast. Although we'd be like,
it'd be thrilling.
It's so bad. It's so boring. You can see what a mess the table is once I unload all my crap.
See all the toys my daughter leaves laying around everywhere. It's not too bad. We
get to see Rocky every now and then when he jumps up on the table.
Yeah, he'll make an appearance here and there and try to eat the microphone.
Knock the bag off the seat.
Or your hand.
Yeah. He's a real cool guy.
Yeah, he's a sweet cat. He loves other people. Big fan of guests. Loves guests.
Yeah, I don't really know if I have anything else to contribute to what we learned this week.
I learned how Avengers Endgame ends.
Good for you.
I'm gonna tell everyone right now. I'm kidding. I'm not gonna do that.
I did learn that the Arizona Diamondbacks baseball stadium has a retractable roof
that they like to open
on. It was a nice balmy 100-degree day. I was sitting up there. I was in Phoenix this past week for a conference. It ended Friday at lunchtime. Went out to the Arrogant Butcher. Had those smoked carnitas pulled pork nachos. Fantastic. And then went to the baseball stadium to watch the game. The Diamondbacks were hosting the Cubs. My seats are way up at the top. But like I was actually really close to the AC vents. Like I get in my seat and they're blowing on me. I was like, oh, this is great because it was so hot outside. Nice and cool. There's air moving. Maybe 10 minutes before first pitch. I just look up and I was like, there's a crack in the roof. Oh, look, it's getting bigger. They're opening the roof. And I took a quick time-lapse video of it. And they open like the side vent the same so you get air moving through it. Mm-hmm. The combination of 70-ish AC air being kind of siphoned out by really dry 100-degree heat actually made the stadium really muggy for like 20 or 30 minutes. Probably could have rained in there, get a little greenhouse effect.
That's crazy. I don't understand. Why would you cool it all day
and then open it?
And right then just open it right before.
Probably because it would have been unbearable had they not been running it. You know,
I guess so. Maybe that's their MO.
And they could have just, had they left it open, like the seats could have been like burning hot. Cause by the time they opened it, the sun was setting.
Yeah, okay.
So it wasn't like beating in on any seats.
The sun wasn't actually shining in. It was just still hot because you're in Arizona.
It was 100 degrees.
Yeah.
It was their first 100-degree day of the year.
Oh, well, good lucky you.
I was lucky enough to be there for it.
Wow. Look at you.
I'm so thankful.
Fortunate. Fortunate son over here.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah, hashtag blessed. Live, laugh, love.
That's cool. It's a fun game. I had no rooting interest. I was wearing a Cubs hat because Grayson plays for the Cubs and I coach for the Cubs, and Cubs are like the new New York Yankees in terms of like
everybody's
a Cubs fan or everybody's a Yankees fan or everybody's a Longhorn fan. So I was not alone in my Cubs air quote fandom, but yeah, I learned that the Diamondbacks organization is not afraid to open the roof on their indoor air-conditioned stadium on a 100-degree day.
On the first 100-degree day of the year.
They're like, you all have to suffer through this with us.
Welcome to Arizona.
Hashtag rattle up. Or rattle on or whatever they... I don't know. Rattler, I don't know.
Red Rattler?
Red Raider rattle the coming at you.
Rattle the cages? That'd have been a good one.
No.
Rattle the cages. That's so great. Y'all write that down. Hashtag rattle the cages. Just start doing that because it's like batting cages, rattlesnakes in cages. I've been to the rattlesnake roundup. I know what that sounds like. Rattle them cages, bro.
All right. I think we're ended there.
Okay.
Maybe.
There it is. You got the music coming in.
All right, for Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks for joining us again on the 23 Personnel Podcast.